Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Want to stream cognitive dissonance to your Android or iPhone? Buy the app. Go to dissonancepod.com and click on the link on the right-hand side of the page. Each purchase helps support the show.
Hi, gentlemen. I've called the show once or twice my National Endowment like execution under a certain influence on multiple occasions, and yet to be featured for my illustriousness, majestically displayed the most poetic and vocal depictions, if I might say so. But that wonderful feeding frenzy for my narcissism that I lust for so dearly has not yet been granted for reasons still undisclosed to me. Now, whether it be my fetishly sadistic, and some might say, continuous inappropriate visual-like depictions of priests being sodomized by aliens with Scientology affiliations, of course, I'm not one to speculate. Nevertheless, it still escapes me. Anyway, glory hole, motherfuckers.
Hey guys, this is Foster from Foster Disbelief. I just wanted to call and let you all know how proud I am to live in a country where a kid who takes an offensive picture and posts it on Facebook is punished more harshly than a professional athlete who cold cocks his wife in an elevator on video. I'd compare his punishment to the punishment people receive for shooting unarmed black people, but I don't want to cry on air. Glory hole.
Hey guys, it's Rob out of Texas again. Listen, you know, one thing I have learned is that a lot of talented people have failed in their careers very soon because they didn't know their limitations. They didn't have brackets of how good or bad they could be at certain things. I mean, you look at, you know, Milli Vanilli and Criss Cross. Okay, those guys, they didn't recognize not only their full potential but lack thereof. And then, you know, look at Marky Mark. That guy's kind of come back hard, you know? That guy, he's going crazy. Gangbusters. Is it game or gang? I don't know. Anyway, I think you guys have stepped into an important place in your career. You have begun at least 50% of your bracket. You have reached bottom with your last show. When you found where the bottom was, when you said, I'm going to go drop a prayer baby in the baptismal. It's like a colloquialism for taking a dump. I think that's the worst thing you've ever said. So, congratulations.
Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. This is episode 181, and we have a returning, I think the gentleman who has... Gentlemen... That's sort of a, let me catch myself for a moment. We have the individual who I think has had the most appearances on our program, Cecil.
I think so.
Jake from the ImaginaryFriendShow.com podcast.
Nice. Hello. Welcome to myself.
You should feel welcome. You should have like a fucking your own sofa in the corner at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've got my sofa on. I've got my cognitive dissonance dressing gown. Got my slippers on. I'm looking great and feeling good.
His cognitive dissonance dressing gown is basically one of my shirts. That's it. It's like when your dad, it's like when you're like a little kid, you're wearing like your dad's work shirt, you know, it like comes down past your fucking ankles.
Actually, he had his wife cut it in half and sew it, and it's still that big.
They use it as a sleeping bag when they go camping.
It's like they tie it to two trees. It's like a koala slingshot.
It's like half a dozen hammocks. Yeah.
Actually, I look forward to it. That's actually not a bad idea, a koala slingshot. I look forward to the day when Australia starts to weaponize our native animals, because they are actually really annoying. Like, if you have a koala drop on your head, they will scratch your eyeballs out. That's actually quite a fascinating idea. I like that. Let's weaponize our koala. And if you walk into an area where wombats are walking, wombats are these little tiny things. They kind of look like groundhogs, except groundhogs on steroids and nuclear waste. But they're enormous little things. And if you walk into their territory, they will chew your ankle off. I like this idea.
Tom, have you ever heard koalas fighting? Hold on a second. There's a YouTube of it. I'm going to play it for you.
Oh, no. It's most likely koalas fucking, because
This is fake, right? This is fake. You're fucking with me. They sound vicious.
They sound like clowns fighting.
They sound like somebody with like a, like, you know, the horn nose, like the hong, hong. Fucking awesome.
I love the
man.
Idea that you even have to say, like, we should weaponize our. Your fucking animals are already weaponized. All you have to do is work on the delivery system. Like, it's like, that's like saying, like, we should weaponize our nuclear bombs. Like, yeah, I think you've got that one down. It's really just a delivery at this point.
Oh, well, there you go. Put a koala on the end of a nuclear bomb and you're away.
A trebuchet filled with koala bears and wombats.
They're not bears, Tom. They're not bears.
Aren't they still called koala bears?
No, only by ignorant
they're
Americans.
They're adorable little bears.
Then
though.
I fucking fit right in.
They're little bears. I mean, come on. They're cute little bears.
Are they actually mean? Like, if you were to corner one, like, if you were to corner one and then pick it up and fucking snuggle it.
Snuggle the fuck out of you. Yeah, no, they're actually, most of the time, they're really quite nice. Because they're drunk, you know, 90% of the time. They are drunk as, well, they're drunk as a koala, basically. So, because they're drinking eucalyptus, which is it's a toxin. And so they're high, they're drunk, basically, the entire time that they're awake, which is a very minuscule part of the day. And then,
like,
you know, so
dad.
If you pick them up, they're pretty okay.
So they're basically like frat kids. I mean, there's no difference between them and your average frat kid. Like, that's it.
Yeah, well, they all have chlamydia too, so they're exactly the same.
Exactly. Are you sure this is not actually like one of the houses on campus?
They have like little frat t-shirts on. They're like, go cats!
Is if there's a fucking sofa on the front porch of their eucalyptus tree, that is a frat, my friend.
Oh, that's
Tom,
awesome.
This show is off the rails. We haven't even done a story yet.
I don't care about the fucking rails. So let's do this. Why? What the fuck? All right, this story comes from Right Wing Watch. Robert Oscar Lopez, because somebody was asking him for advice. LGBT advocates are like Pol Pot and are after your kids, plain and simple. He's the latest anti-gay activist to attack at the Human Rights Campaign. These comments are sort of unreal, comparing LGBT rights activists to the Khmer Rouge.
So who is Robert Oscar Lopez? You must
your
know
your guess
him.
Is
you...
as good as mine.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I've never heard of this guy before in my life. He's just somebody that evidently is just fucking yammering.
Really hateful.
And the yammer is significant.
Yeah, he's. I mean, obviously, he's a moron. There's no better way to say that he is just a deluded piece of trash. I don't want to say white trash because his surname suggests that he's not. But he just seems to be a deluded piece of trash.
Well, let's read some of the things that he's had to say, Jay, because I want to get your comments on kind of the specifics. I think we need to, before we just go straight ad hominem, which I'm more than happy to do, I think we really need to address the meat of some of these arguments.
No, but he said it was plain and simple.
Oh, he did. I guess he did, yeah.
He did, yeah. He said it's basically plain and simple. They are like Pol Pot. It is plain and simple.
Well, then,
so you don't actually need to go into the content because it's plain and simple.
Well, he does say, gentlemen readers, these folks are trying to find a way to get the sperm out of your testicles and into their laboratories. Lady readers, these folks need to find a way to implant an embryo of their sperm. An embryo of their sperm in your womb. Keep you obedient during gestation and then take your baby away forever. Then moving on. People don't generally want to let lesbians milk sperm out of their testicles. And that's where I first thought, speak for yourself, sir.
Yeah, I'm down with that. I'm like, sign me up right now.
Yeah, I wrote that down too, exactly. Word for word, speak for yourself.
Where do I have to go for this? This sounds like a really great time. Where do I have to go to get a lesbian to milk the sperm out of my nuts?
This is basically the setup for every short and hastily written movie that I have ever seen.
All you need to do is deliver pizzas, I hear. That's the way to get...
In a world where there's no way to have sex, but you can reproduce by lesbians milking your testicles.
That sounds like a great world.
This summer, get your testicles milked by a lesbian.
Don't you dare close your eyes. Oh, crap, it's in my head.
Oh, man.
I love, too, like, so these lesbians are going to milk the sperm out of my testicles, which, again, they're going to get very little pushback from me on that particular agenda item. But now, I mean, okay, so that kind of sounds pretty heterosexual to me, actually. Like, we're all upset that these fucking women are going to try to bamboozle men into giving them sperm. And it's like, well, most of us will just donate. Yeah. We're good with that. Like, you don't really have to bamboozle.
You
can be pretty fucking upfront about that situation.
But also the premise that gay people are intending to get their fertilized embryos into women. Was that the word?
Yeah,
wasn't
exactly.
It?
Yeah, exactly.
To get their fertilized embryos,
implant an embryo of their sperm.
An embryo of their sperm. I don't.
An embryo of their sperm.
What is that?
Well, you didn't know that gays self-replicate. I don't think you knew that, but that's how they just split right down the middle.
And so I take my sperm and then I embryo it. I don't know how I would.
Well, I suppose your testicles are the place. You know, they are effectively the sperm factory. So are they trying to suggest, or is he trying to suggest that you're trying to put your testicle inside their embryo, or in your testicle inside the womb, or something like that?
I'm willing to give it a whirl.
In a literal set, I mean...
Yeah, I'm not opposed
isn't that
to
basically teabagging?
Yeah. It's a really sophisticated and very difficult teabagging maneuver, it turns out.
Oh, well. I love this this sentence here. He says, they've convinced themselves, referring to gays, that gays are a tribe unto themselves. Their consuming goal is to populate the tribe so they don't disappear. What this guy doesn't appear to understand is that by... you know, vilifying gay people, by hating gay people, by, you know, lynching gay people, by basically doing everything that you can to segregate them from, you know, the mainstream society, they've done their part to push them into a stage where they feel like they are a tribe under their own. It's not as though they don't want to be a part of society. If there's one thing that I've heard from the LGBTQITSPN community, it's that they want to be a part of, they want equality. They want to be a part of the larger society. They don't want to be segregated. Yet this guy is saying that it is a defining quality of LGBTs. I'm just not sure he's smart.
No, really. Yeah. You know, I started to question the same thing when I read the paragraph where he's talking about, you know, how the slavery comparison is not an apt comparison. He says, wasn't slavery the problem with slavery? Not all the horrors that sometimes accompany slavery and sometimes do not. And I thought, well, I think the horrors were problematic as well. Like, I don't think that you can discount the horrors. When you have a situation which has horrors that accompany it, at no time can you be like, well, the thing was bad, but the horrors, well, the horrors of it were pretty good. No, no, the kind of definitionally, the horrors were horrible. That's kind of how horrors work.
This guy. What a human, right? Isn't it just great that, you know, we get to share the planet, like, with people like this. Yeah. I mean, firstly, intellectual powerhouse, let's acknowledge it, you know. But, you know, the fact that we get to share, like, the same drinking water, the same supermarkets, the same money.
The same race.
The same laws. The same race, certainly. Yeah. All of that stuff, the same air. You know, the fact that we get to it's just, you know, it's so great. The other side to that is that this guy's obviously getting published, otherwise he wouldn't have been picked up. So he's being published by someone.
He's a professor, it turns out.
He's a professor of what?
Yeah, California State University.
Please tell
in
me
Northridge.
It's not sociology.
Don't know what it is, but he's listed under GLAD, so he's a professor. Robert Oscar Lopez, a.k.a. Bobby Lopez.
Oh, good old Bobby.
Is a professor. Yep. And it's funny, too, because he even says here, he says, according to some historians of the so-called killing fields in the 1970s, the Khmer Rouge hunted down people with eyeglasses and killed them in mass. They did this ostensibly because they worried that people who were too intelligent might challenge the draconian policies of the government. Fortunately, the human rights campaign has no killing fields, so I and my contact lenses are safe for now. Isn't he kind of implying that he's the intelligent one who's going to be killed? And you're like, hold on a second. Nobody's going to fucking mistake you for an intelligent person. You are safe.
Oh,
brother.
Man.
You're
you
safe.
Can walk around naked, covered in money. You're that safe. Like, you can walk around and be like, I'm made out of money. And people would just be like, we're leaving that guy be. He could literally wear the thickest, like he could tape binoculars to his face and he would still be safe.
Well, this guy looks really smart. Oh, no, he talks. No, he's not.
Yeah,
he's actually wearing a Hubble telescope on his head.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, so anyway, you got the history kind of right. Certainly when the Khmer Rouge instituted their regime and wanted to revolutionize the agriculture sector of Cambodia, and they pushed basically everybody who was an intellectual into the agriculture sector and pushed everybody from cities out into the country basically to make the food and feed the population. They did kill basically anybody who was a dissenter, and most often the dissenters were the people that were intelligent enough to formulate sentences that would be picked up by people, the common people, and generally those people were the smart people. So it's certainly true that they were killed, that you know, journalists, academics, etc., were killed as a result of their speaking out, but it wasn't the fact that they were wearing glasses, it was the fact that they were dissenters. And to refer to gay people as though they are Pol Pot is repugnant. I mean, there's just no other word to say it. It is just horribly, horribly repugnant that he would make that such a ridiculous assertion.
He starts off with this premise, right? He says parenthood is their great white whale. They want to have children to love them and call them mom and dad. They need to get these children from you because biology prevents them from siring them naturally. Well, yeah, I guess if you're really, really not a good creative problem solver, like if the only way you can think to solve that problem is by, you know, heterosexuals having sex with each other, yes. But, I mean, it's fucking 2014. These are problems we can readily solve otherwise. And there's nothing necessarily unnatural, but whatever. That natural comment is just like a fucking red herring. You know, and he says, like, this is the main agenda. This is the main agenda of the gay lobby, is basically to normalize children being born to same-sex couples. But it never presents an argument about why that's a bad thing. Like, at no point does he actually elucidate a single coherent point where he says, like, hey, these kids would... I can't even imagine what the point would be. I'm not even going to make one up. But because at no point does he expound on anything. He just throws metaphor after endless metaphor, comparing shit to other shit.
And they're really bad metaphors, too.
Right.
But but there's a reason behind that, Tom. The reason behind it is there have been multiple studies done into whether children of gay couples fare any differently, you know, i.e. better or worse, than children of straight couples. And there is literally no difference to be found. There is no statistically significant. There were no outliers. You know, there were probably outliers, but there was nothing statistically significant. There was nothing statistically different about children of same-sex couples and children of heterosexual couples. There was literally none. There are certainly differences between children with parents and single-parent children. Or children of single parents. Single parent children. That
single
doesn't work.
Parent but, children.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, but
so
there
do
are
you have to put your embryo
there.
In a sperm to get one of those?
How yeah, first you have to have your sperm milked by a lesbian. There's certain protocols associated. But yeah, there is literally no difference. There is absolutely no difference. There is nothing to be gained or lost by having a gay, same-sex parents.
Well, what's the weird nothing comment whatsoever. He has here where he says, not only does the human rights campaign explode into hysteria when they see me traveling to Paris and gasp talking to people in French, that's the end of the sentence. That's not a complete sentence. This man's...
So not only does he understand sexuality, he doesn't understand syntax and sentence structure.
But here's the best part. His PhD is in English. That's not even a complete fucking sentence. So it's just a clause. That's not even a complete fucking sentence.
So Jake, your podcast is reaching a little milestone here.
Little milestone, yeah. 200 episodes.
Not really. It's like 460 or something, right?
Yes, I think. I was counting this morning. We're up to 312 in total because, you know, I put out 0.5s and bonuses and such. But we do put out two episodes a week and only number one of them. So it certainly, you know, we've achieved quite a high number without achieving quite a high number. But, yeah, certainly it's an accolade nonetheless. We're excited.
Yeah, right. Sure, you just need to put aside some time to celebrate once in a while, and this seems like a good enough time, I guess. So,
yeah.
200 episodes, congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
That's
awesome.
The arbitrary nature of your accomplishment. It's like, yeah, we're celebrating 200, which is not actually 200.
It's actually substantially more than that.
We should have celebrated 100 episodes ago. That's the kind of procrastination I can actually get on board with. It's like 6 months go by and you're like, did we celebrate? No, fuck it. Okay, yeah, we can get around to that. It's been half a fucking year.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually relatively sure that I don't want to number the episodes anymore because I haven't cared about the numbers really ever, but I think it's an appropriate time to no longer number them and just go by the title or something like that.
Oh, so you're just going to be doing numbers now. No more numbers. That's it.
No numbers. It's just going to be it's just going to be new episode, whatever.
So what will you celebrate in the future? Just like a time of year?
My birthday,
be like, it's
yeah.
Christmas time.
Something like that. Yeah, we started around May in 2010. So I think around May in 20, or each year, around May each year, we'll celebrate another year of the podcast.
I think what you've got to do is you've got to set a listener goal. You know, like, so instead of, you know, yeah, we hit 200 episodes. It's like, yeah, we hit 7 listeners, you know, and then when you get there, then you could celebrate. So in a few years,
well,
you know,
in a few years, I'm really looking forward to getting 7 listeners. Yeah. I'll tell you what, for the first probably year, we were maxing out at about 100, maybe 200 listeners a week. And then all of a sudden the show reached basically we reached the American market and it exploded from there out.
That happens in America, actually.
Yeah. it's because there's one or two of you out there.
It's just the Twinkies. It's like all of a sudden it's just the downloads are bigger.
From the inside
it's
out.
Not even that there's more of them.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, the more robust.
Download costs for many. Yeah, it's the imperial metric system exchange rate.
Yeah.
Our downloads are like 6 of your downloads.
Love it.
Well, Jake, if people were going to find your podcast, where would they look?
Yeah, so go to imaginaryfriendsshow.com or iTunes. You can search for Image and it'll pop up. The other thing is...
Image.
In a couple of weeks' time, we're doing our next live show for people in Brisbane. I understand you guys are doing a picnic or something tomorrow, aren't you?
Yeah, we're going to be getting together with some fans tomorrow at a picnic, but we won't be doing a show. We're just going to be standing
there awkwardly.
Drinking
beer. I'll be drinking heavily from the moment we arrive. That way I can pretend that I'm actually not socially awkward. Yeah. So.
I'm actually not getting out of the car. So I'm just going to go there, and I'm just going to sit in the car the whole time.
Oh, my God, guys. I can't believe this picnic is so lame.
So now you're going to have another Skeptic Camp, though?
No, so we are certainly going to have another Skeptic Camp. That'll be next year. But we've got the Brisbane Skeptic Society is putting on another live podcast event between the Imaginary Friends Show and Skeptically Challenged with Ross Balch. So we'll have a couple of my show regulars. I think Nick Morganmore, who you guys will meet today on my show, he's a comedian. He's a funny guy. He'll be probably there on the panel as well as a couple of other regulars. So if Brisbane listeners, people from around Brisbane, Queensland, etc., are interested, it's Wednesday, October 22nd at the Plough Inn in South Bank. And if you're a member of the or even if you're not a member of the Brisbane Skeptic Society, you can go to the Facebook page for the Brisbane Skeptic Society and join the Facebook event for that.
Wonderful.
And come along. 22nd of October. It's going to be awesome. Oh.
I mean, let's not put the cart before the horse here, buddy. It'll be, I mean, you'll be there. So
yeah,
let's.
Right. How about 22nd of October? That's a day. That would have, you know, because I would believe that pitch. Like, I would. I feel like I'd be on board with that. Well, now that we've fucking gotten rid of Jake. Yeah. You know, which I say fucking good riddance, but if you want to hear us debase ourselves even further with Jake, his 200th episode, Cecil, is out.
Yes.
We were fortunate enough, I don't know, is that the right word? Fortunate enough. Suckers enough,
suckers.
Maybe.
I think it's probably better. Yeah.
Right, to appear on that. And episode 200.5, because if you think my accounting is bad.
Yeah.
You should see how Jake does.
This is going to be his last counting, he said, though. So the 200.5 will be on his last counted episode. We had a great time with Jake and a bunch of other people, so give it a listen. It's on imaginaryfriendshow.com, and it turned out to be like 2 full hours of recording.
Yes, it certainly did.
And since we talked to Jake, Tom, we had a picnic.
We did. Went, the picnic was a rousing success, I thought.
Yeah, it went over well. We had a good time. We got a chance to meet a ton of people, so we're really excited to, you know, actually meet some people who listen to the show. They came out in the – it was fucking pretty cold. I mean, it hasn't been cold a lot in Chicago. I mean, it's been a chilly summer, but it hasn't been, like, cold. And this is wintry mix yesterday. I mean, there was snow falling from the sky at a certain point, and people still came out in the cold. And we ate some cold food and drank some cold beer and hung out for about 4 hours, and we had about, I would say, around maybe between 30 and 40 people show up total, and it turned out to be a great time. So we want to thank everybody who showed up. We clearly can't thank you all individually, but there were some people who came from really far away. Some people came from Cincinnati, some people who came from D.C., a couple people from Michigan, people from downstate Illinois, you know, really far away distances, Wisconsin. So we want to thank everybody who just decided to get in the car, come on down, and just hang out with us for a couple hours.
Yeah, I thought it was actually quite a lot of fun. It was very nice to meet people that are generally demonstrably kinder and smarter than I am.
Yeah.
So thanks for giving Cecil lots of fucking other options when I bollocks this up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Who's that guy on the other side of the glory hole? It's Jesus.
So let's cover the story, Cecil, from Addicting Info, because, over 100,000 sexually explicit photos of children found on arrested archbishop's computer. Now, Cecil, you're better at two things than I am, so I'm going to have to ask you for some information before I can properly evaluate this
article. Go ahead.
First of all, you're more familiar with the Catholic Church than I am. I've only gone for weddings and funerals, so I've never actually been to a mass. An archbishop, is that – how high up in the church is an archbishop?
Well, you see, on one side you have the bishop, and then his enemy is the archbishop, and they fight, right?
Oh, gotcha. So like, it's so, like the anti-bishop.
Exactly, yeah. So like when you get these confused, like this guy's actually a villain. Like people just don't understand that when they're like, oh, in the Catholic Church he's an archbishop. No, he's – archbishops are they're the bad guys in the movie.
That's why they wear the red beanies.
Exactly,
so easier to
identify
them.
Yeah, it's like you know, they always wear like capes, you know, like certain ones always wear capes. So no, archbishop means I think it's higher than a bishop but lower than a cardinal. So,
okay, all right, so this is pretty high up in the church
up,
right? Because like it's a priest, then a bishop.
Yeah, a bishop
then
is
an
like
archbishop?
A bishop is like a guy who has like I think control of a cathedral. So like certain churches are bigger churches and bigger congregations. I'm probably fucking buggering this up completely. But I think I'm pretty sure it's like a bishop is of just a bigger area. So like a bigger, larger area.
Gotcha.
And then the archbishop is like the middle manager.
Gotcha. Okay. So, all right. And then now as all of our listener can attest to, I'm not so good with the numbers. So 100,000, is that a big number?
I mean, you know, if you're talking about like the size of the universe, no.
Yeah, right.
No, it's not a big number. The size of the size of the solar system, not a big number.
Not a big number.
Talking about all the people in the world, probably not that big a number. But if you were talking about, say, someone's normal porn collection, that would be a lot.
100,000 images, man.
You know, so 100,000 images, and it was 86,000 images and 160 videos were found. An additional 45,000 photos had been deleted. And it said, upon examination, the video files were of teenage boys being forced into sexual acts with other adults. And 86,000 plus photographs had been neatly organized into category-based folders. And I'm thinking, man, you really are a guy who spends a lot of time with your porn if you collate it. You know what I mean?
Right?
You're just like... You're like, what am I in the end? You know what? I have a file management system for this set up. You know, I wonder if it's like he just tags it. You know, he's got like certain meta tags for it. It's like, I mean, I guess I could get in some really dark territory. I'm not going there. So I'm just leaving it alone at that. But clearly he tags it, you know.
You know, at some point you've collected. There has to be that moment where you're looking and you're like, man, my desktop is so cluttered with kiddie porn. I need to do some fucking digital housekeeping.
You really do.
This has gotten my fucking child pornography collection has really gotten out of control. So it's time to, I mean, how much time would it take? Be like looking at the image, I'm like, no, okay, that's definitely going to fall into this. Oh, that could be either or categorically. I'm going to have to.
What is that? What is that? Actually, why don't I just copy that one into three folders?
Right, okay, here we go. We'll just move that into three folders that way. Yeah, because I want to know that I find...
I want to make sure.
When I'm looking for deplorable pictures of human suffering, I want to make sure I get the right deplorable pictures of human suffering.
Right, absolutely.
Like when children are being sexually exploited for my gratification... I want to make sure I'm looking at the right tear-stained faces of youngins.
You make it sound so bad, Tom. What is wrong with you?
I don't know.
I'll tell you. And you know the worst part about this is that it's not like this guy is getting his rocks off in some sort of legal way, right? Like if this 66-year-old guy wanted to go out and have some sexual encounter with a consenting adult somewhere privately, while it is against his vows, it's not against the law. You know what I mean? It's not a thing that anybody outside of his circle of people would care about. If some priest got caught this week having sex with a hooker, if they weren't doing it and at the same time attacking other people who do it and being a hypocrite, it wouldn't even be a story that we would even cover. But instead, this guy is going out and, you know, he's not only that, because it says at one point, it says that he was the head of the church. And he was allowed to walk freely in Rome despite allegations of having paid minors for sex. And now, a minor, it's not like fucking somebody walks up to you like shoe shine box style is like, you know, hey, can I, you know, like there's a
hello, governor, shine a knob for you.
There's an adult that is fucking facilitating you having sex with a minor, right?
Right.
There's always an adult involved on the other end. It's not like the little kids in the other countries are just like, yeah, fucking, I make it on my own. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I just go out and sell my ass. You know what I mean? And then just go out and no, there's an adult that is doing it. You know, and it's like he's doing something that is as sinful as he can get, right? He gets to this point where he's just like, man, I just got to go out and do something sinful. Well, I'm not going to do like one thing. I'm going to go out and do something really, really fucking hyper sinful. Like right. not just something that would, you know, make other people look at me and be like, oh, it's kind of unsavory. Instead, it's like deplorable. Like I fucking a fucking 2-year-old would be about the same level. You know what I mean? Like you're at this point, you're paying someone to facilitate sex with an unwilling participant.
You know, the only upside to this story is that he was fucking arrested in the Vatican.
Right.
You know, so let's give the credit where the credit is
sure.
due, you know, because this is actually, you know, this is a step in the right direction. So, yes, he was, like, there were allegations, but, I mean, let's be fair. Allegations are allegations. So until they're, you know, until they're proven, I mean, you got to do some investigation there and make sure. But in this case, like, it's pretty hard to be like, those weren't my 86,000 photos neatly organized into categories of human suffering.
I just grabbed the wrong USB drive when I was hanging out. Sorry. Sometimes that happens. You know, I have
a 4 terabyte USB drive.
I
just have to put it in a fucking cart to move it around.
I have this Lexar one, and you have this Lexar one. Mine's blue. Yours is gray. Whoops.
Mine is shaped like a teenage cock.
Yeah, I know. It's a little smaller. It's a mini USB. Yeah, no, and it looks like the Pope here, the Pope has actually gone out of his way to call it an ugly crime and said it was a satanic mass. I don't really know what that means, but evidently that's bad. Okay, so he's saying it's fucking not a good thing and it shouldn't be done. And it's great that somebody's stepping out and saying it, because clearly there has been so much fucking, basically, everybody's had this closed mouth policy based on this for a long time in that organization.
Right.
They've just pretended it doesn't exist. Now they have an open mouth policy behind doors and a closed mouth policy. You know, they're just like, they pretend it doesn't exist. And at least somebody's acknowledging that it's existing by arresting someone.
And I wonder, like, does the Vatican, and I actually don't know this, like, do they have a justice system and a prison
system?
I
don't know that they whether or not that is true, but they certainly are their own like little city state, you know what I mean? So I went there and they had little guards and little jaunty little outfits, so
because it says that the Vatican detectives were the ones that caught him. I just wonder, like, like how
Vatican
does that work
detectives. like I see like Sherlock Holmes, but instead they have like the Pope mitre on instead of like the big like hats that they used that the Sherlock Holmes had,
right? Instead like the tweed outfit, it's just
a big monocle,
the Vatican
a
detectives.
Monocle or a big magnifying glass, and they're like walking around looking at footprints as they
walk. There's like footprints in the semen. They're like, that's horrible. Let's move on. Oh, I don't feel good about that comment.
What, are you gonna cry now? Come on, cry, baby. Cry for me. Come on. Cry.
So this next story comes from the Telegraph. Ultra-Orthodox Jews cause chaos on flight to Israel. Flight delayed because of demand to segregate men and women. So there was a flight from New York to Tel Aviv that turned into an 11-hour nightmare. Not just because of bad honey roasted peanuts, but because ultra-Orthodox Jewish passengers refused to sit next to women. And I would say that that is actually not the issue. The issue is that somebody fucking paid attention to their demands.
Yep, that's exactly
That's the fucking issue. Because I got to tell you, like, if I'm that and it's like, I'm not sitting next to a woman, it's like, you've got two choices. Sit in your fucking seat or get off the airplane.
Right.
Those are your choices. This is a private company. This is like you are on private property. It's not public grounds. I don't have to deal with your shit.
It's not a right. It's a privilege. Flying is a privilege. It's not a right. You don't fucking automatically get to fly. You don't get to show up places and, you know, make demands of people when it's not your – it's not a place that's run by someone who is respecting of your cultural beliefs. You know, it's like – it'd be like if they were giving into like a whole – let's say the KKK – got on a plane and they didn't want to sit next to anybody who wasn't white.
Yeah, right.
You know? Be like, well, sorry. That's the fucking seat you got. You don't want to sit next to anybody that's white. Fucking charter a whole plane.
I don't understand how that's not exactly comparable. You know, or if I just, can you imagine if I got on an airplane, I'm like, I demand a window seat. And they were like, well, fucking, it's first come, first serve, dude. You're on Southwest. Like, yeah. Get fucking sit down. Exactly. And I was like, I demand a window seat. They'd be like, get the fuck off that airplane.
Yep.
Nobody would tolerate that for a fucking minute. But because this is like, you know, and I put in the tweet, and I think this is true, like, this is misogyny, right? You're saying, like, I'm not sitting next to a woman. Women are unclean. They're less than. There's something,
yeah,
something unpleasant about women that says, I can't sit next to you. But because this is like some kind of religious-based misogyny, then, you know, this suddenly delayed the flight. This shouldn't have delayed the flight a minute. Like, the flight should have been like, look, we leave at 11. You're on it or you're off it.
They stood in the aisles. Like, at a point, these people, like, because they were so mad about having to sit next to women, they, like, finally tried to fucking do the best they could to switch seats and do whatever. Then they decided to stand anyway in, like, fucking some sort of protest. I'd have fucking just landed the plane with them standing. I'm like, hey, fucking, I told you to take your seat. Didn't take your seat. Oh, yeah, well. The problem is they'll get sued. You know what I mean? Like, you get sued because they'll be like, oh, fucking, I wanted to sit. I wanted to fucking basically shove my religion down everybody's throats and make sure that, you know, I didn't sit next to somebody. What? I don't want to sit next to one of these jag-offs. You know, if I'm flying, I don't want to sit next to. But if I have to, I have to. That's the way it is. I'm going to have to do it.
So you wouldn't fucking protest and, like, make a big goddamn stink? You're on a fucking, you're on a privately owned but public space.
Yeah.
Like, be polite. Like, just recognize that, like, you live in a world with 7 billion people, and you are not the most important one of them.
To be honest, this is, I don't see exactly what you're saying, though, about, like, racism, though. I mean, this is get in the back of the bus, basically, what they're saying.
Right.
You know, I mean, this is clearly, they don't want to sit next to women. What the fuck is going on? You're a fucking wackaloon.
Yeah, I like your idea of just landing the plane and making them bounce all over the place. making it a little bit of an extra hard landing and, like, watch them
all
go
buckle.
Flying.
Yeah, I would just make them be like, okay, hey, why don't you guys just go in the fucking cargo hold then?
Yeah.
You know?
It'd be awesome if there was, like, a section where it's like, obviously this is horrifyingly impractical, but, you know, have you ever seen those, like, those parabolic flights where you're weightless?
Yeah.
It'd be awesome if they were like, great, all right, so you can stand, and then they just, like, all of a sudden, like, go into one of those big parabolic dives, and they just, like, crash.
All their braids
crash.
Are, like, floating in the air. Their
right.
little braids, just, their little tuxedo hats are curved above their heads. And
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
So this story comes from Reuters. This is very upsetting. Iranian man executed for heresy. A former psychologist has been executed for heresy in Iran. Cecil, what was he executed for? And I'm going to give you a couple of options.
Okay.
I know you know the story.
Sure,
but,
yeah.
You know, the listeners might not. So was he executed for a bad Facebook post? Was he executed for wiping his ass with the Quran? Or was he executed for suggesting that the tale of Jonah and the whale was a metaphor?
Wait, that's a metaphor?
I don't know what it would be a metaphor for.
Well, you would actually think that's a literal story? Like, you'd be like, yeah, dude was swallowed by a whale, hung out for a while, and then got vomited back up. It was fucking awesome. And I also, wasn't that fucking Geppetto? Didn't he get swallowed by a whale?
Yeah, right? Like, and then Jonah's nose grew larger and larger. Like, wait. And then Jonah became a real boy.
Oh,
my God. What is fucking happening?
This is fucking stupid, though. And, you know, it's funny because I watched a video this week where this guy was arguing. He was on CNN or something like that, and these people. And a bunch of my what I think are probably either atheist or highly liberal friends on Facebook all posted this article. And like, this guy gets it. You know, it's one of those things. And this guy is arguing. These people on CNN are saying, well, is Islam a violent religion? And he's like, no, of course not. He's like, it's not a violent religion. He's like, but the people who practice it in certain places, those people, their countries are violent, and so therefore it's a violent religion. And he's going on. And he's like, it's violent there, but it's not violent in other countries where it's, you know, there's other countries that use they don't do it. So it's not, you can't say it's ubiquitously violent all across the board. And they're like, well, but what about this? And they're going back and forth, and they're arguing. This guy's kind of shooting them down each way. Because they're saying, well, what about in Saudi Arabia? He's like, well, Saudi Arabia is just a violent place because they, you know, it's like because it's run by a regime. It's not because it's religious. It's because it's run by a regime. And while I understand and get it at a certain point, I also say, look, they are specifically pointing to this book and saying, this is a law we need to follow.
Right.
I am going to kill people based on blasphemy. I'm going to kill people if they point out something. They are actively killing people based on this book and because of this book, because of Facebook posts, because of apostasy. You know, when they're saying that they don't believe or when they suggest something isn't true in this story, when they they're killing people based on that. You can't fucking say that they're not doing it. You can't be like, oh, well, that's just once in a while. And it's the state that is doing it. It is the state that is carrying these things out. So for you to be like, oh, well, it's just a few extremists. Well, the few extremists run the whole state then.
Yeah, they run the country.
You're like, okay, well, that's weird then. Okay, and then that's something we should be pointing out and saying that's fucking a wrong. That is not a moral good that is happening. And that means that the religion is at fault because it is powering their views.
Yeah, it's like blaming the direction of the boat but not taking account of the motor. You know, it's like, wait, what are you talking about? What gets us from here to there? It's the thing, like you said, when you say it's like the thing that's powering it, I totally agree with that, man. There's no way to look at a country like Iran or a country like Saudi Arabia, right, and say like, okay, well, we've talked about, like, they have morality police.
Right.
That drive around enforcing the religious laws. And all of a sudden I'm supposed to step back and be like, well, it's not the religion. Really? Then what the fuck are the morality police doing?
Right.
What do they have? Like, you'd wake up and you have nothing to do today then. You'd wake up and be like, I got to go to work, but I'm a morality policeman, and so I don't have anything to do. No, you have fucking plenty to do because you have this fucking crazy book, and you've got a whole system. You have a whole fucking power infrastructure that is built to allow you to impose the views of this book as interpreted by a select group of people, but they are still the views of this book. And you have a power infrastructure behind you, which absolutely forces this down every man, woman, and child's throat from the moment of their birth to the moment of their death. And I'm supposed to stop and say, yeah, but that's just a cultural, it's a violent country. No, fuck that noise. That's fucking nonsense.
So we're going to take a short break, give you some information on how to contact us and how to donate to the show, and we'll be back right after.
Want to contact the guys? Go to DissonancePod.com to get links to their Google+, Facebook, and Twitter accounts. If you want to contact them directly, send an email to dissonance.podcast@gmail.com. Or you can call and leave a message at 740-74-DOUBT. That's 740-743-6828. Do you want to support the show? Go to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/dissonancepod. Or click the link on the podcast homepage, and you can donate to the production of Cognitive Dissonance on a per-episode basis. If you can't spare any money, take a second to give us a 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher, or spread the word about the show. We want to send a big, heartfelt glory hole to all the patrons and people who rate us. You fucking rock.
So this story comes, unsurprisingly, from Right Wing Watch. Texas Supreme Court Justice. The church has gone to sleep and let progressives rule every facet of government.
Wait, does he understand that we haven't done anything at all in like the last 4 years because of the fucking deadlock in fucking Congress? Does he not know that?
Is he not looking around? He's in Texas. Like if you're in Texas and you're like, the progressives have won, you're like, fucking, wait a minute.
Where? What did they win, a soccer game? Like, what the fuck? Hold on. Well, let's listen to him. He's got 55 right. seconds worth of blah, blah to go through here. So this is Supreme Court Justice John Devine. I don't know. Maybe that's
an awesome name for this guy.
Yeah, isn't it? It is great. And he was on the Faith and Liberty program.
So we stick close as possible to the intent of the founders, as I see it, in terms of constitutional
constructions.
The original intent. It doesn't change. Mm-hmm. And that's what's made us great for so many 200 and
so how do you react when you hear the Constitution is a living and breathing document?
Well, it's just, that's not what the intent of the Founding Fathers ever was.
How do you know what the intent of the Founding Fathers was?
Well, actually, he pulled Bill and Ted, who had an excellent adventure, by the way.
They
and
did.
They were able to go back in time and ask
true,
directly.
I forgot about
so it's
that.
Still kind of hearsay, but it is.
Be excellent to each other. Party on, dude.
Yeah. So he listens to a lot of Wild Stallions albums.
I'm sorry. I think that makes him an expert. God, I haven't seen that movie in forever. Good Lord. Why is that taking up space in my brain? How dare you? The thing is like, I actually disagree. I was like, and because neither of us can tell what their intent was, we can only infer what their intent was. I think we're both right then.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I guess, I guess I would come at this sort of slightly differently and say like, so which is right? Which is more useful might be a better question.
Sure.
Would it be more useful to have a constitution which allows for change over time? Or should we have a static constitution? I think that's a reasonable question to ask. My feeling is that a constitution should have ways to be, what's the right word? Amended.
Huh.
For example.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's kind of and a radical idea. I don't know if it'll work, Tom.
I can't imagine. So, I mean, it's like if the question is, was the Constitution intended to be a set of fucking stone tablets brought down from Mount Sinai?
Right.
I think the answer is very clearly no. It's intended to be able to be modified. And it strikes me that if something is able to be modified, it was written then with the intent and the understanding that it's not word from on high, that it's a bunch of dudes sitting in a room trying their very damnedest to come up with some very good ideas. But they have an innate recognition that they're just dudes in a room, no better or worse than any other set of dudes in a room. And they're trying their damnedest to come up with some ideas, but they have to recognize that since we are not at the end point of history, we cannot account for all things today.
Right.
But there's, this idea that the Constitution should be static suggests to me that we are at an end point of history, or that we're looking at our world with a finite lens rather than a forward-looking lens. And that's how do you build good government that way? How do you say like, yeah, well, what we put together in fucking 1776 will definitely account for stem cells. Like, what the fuck? You couldn't even fucking say those. They wouldn't even know what cells were.
Yeah.
Like cells.
Yeah, it's a great point, Tom. It's not one of those. I mean, clearly it is a living, breathing document if you're going to have to change it. There's a little more.
Those principles, if we would stick to those, like the Ten Commandments, I mean, if we would just stick to those basic principles, our nation would be far better off, and we would once again be the light on the hill. And unfortunately, either the church has gone to sleep, and many Americans have gone to sleep, and we have allowed those with these progressive ideas to inhabit the White House and almost every facet of government.
I hate the fucking Ten Commandments comments, too.
We're just like, which one? The one from Exodus or the one from Deuteronomy, first of all?
Well, yeah. I've said this many times, but goddamn, the first fucking four are throwaway fucking comments.
Yep.
Like, the first four of them are just like garbage. They're garbage.
And can you imagine an economy where we actually enshrined, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy?
Yeah.
First of all, the Sabbath is not even agreed upon. Some say it's Saturday, some say it's Sunday. So to play fair, you'd have to be like, okay, well, Saturday and Sunday, nobody can work. Oh, okay, well, our economy will just grind to a halt for fucking 2 out of 7
sure.
days.
And coveting, the 3 at the end that are coveting. You're just like, well, that's an internal thing. How do you even fucking legislate against an internal thing? That's like legislating against, I've seen these fucking parking signs. We're like, don't even think of parking here. It's like, fucking don't tell me what I can't think. I fucking think of parking here. I'm thinking of parking there right now. I am thinking of parallel parking in your spot right now. What are you going to do to me? Nothing. Same thing here. It's like, you can't fucking force me not to covet. Covet where the fuck I want to covet. There's no, you can't be like, sorry, here's your coveting ticket.
And got you all, were you coveting? Well, we have a covet-based economy.
Yeah.
It just seemed reasonable. Fuck you, you're all in jail.
Exactly.
Fucking, like the most, the only funny thing is it would put all of the world's power brokers like immediately in suspicion, right? Like, because there's no way for you to want money.
Yeah.
Why would you? What would you want money for if you weren't coveting something?
Watch like a Cadillac commercial or an Acura commercial. It's
right.
All about coveting. It's all about look at my lifestyle, and it's specifically wanting you to like the thing so it would buy it. Like the entire concept of marketing is to fucking get you to covet things.
Yeah, it doesn't. And I like too. It's like, well, we have to really get back to the Ten Commandments. All right, well, fucking at least 5 or 6 of these things are fucking totally useless, and the rest of them are all conditional.
Right.
It's like, we shall jail, not commit adultery. Whose fucking business is it of yours?
I know.
Fuck you.
Like, and then what? The killing and the stealing, it's like, yeah, well, those are already laws.
Yeah,
like,
right.
When did we get away from you can't steal and can't kill? The only two important ones in there.
It really is. Like, the Ten Commandments, like, they are absent. And we've talked about this, but it bears repeating. They are not a useful set of commandments. They're not even, like, you can't even look at them and build a moral structure out of this. It's not like you can look at the Ten Commandments and be like, oh, man, I fucking nailed it with life because I followed the Ten Commandments. They're not even useful. They're not even good guidelines, you know? So, like, okay, don't kill or steal. Thanks, fucking. Now that I'm not three, what else have you got for me?
Okay, so we want to thank, of course, all of our patrons. First, we want to thank everybody who came out to the picnic yesterday. Great time. We had a wonderful time. We wound up not being able to record afterwards, but we did record the next day. We had said we were going to record right away afterwards, but we were so exhausted from the picnic and also being cold for four straight hours that we decided not to do it. So we're very thankful that everybody came out and had a good time. We want to thank our patrons because they make this possible. And we also want to mention, too, we're going to be donating to the Greater Chicago Food Depository. We had mentioned on the ticket that if you came, we'd like you to donate some food items, and people brought tons of stuff. The back of my car is full of stuff that I'm going to drop off at the Food Depository tomorrow. So it's just a great thing that people have come out and took the time out of their day, not only to come out, but then to also donate stuff so that other people can eat. And that's a wonderful thing. We want to thank people for their generosity. And we also want to thank our patrons. They make this possible, too. So we want to thank our newest patrons, Amy, Nate, Frankie, Bill, and Dana. Thank you all so much for your generous donations. And we thank everybody who donates to the show. It's been really wonderful to use some of these funds to help other people and to have little get-togethers like the one we had yesterday.
I just want to echo Cecil's sentiments very quickly. I think he said it very well. But really, I mean, truly, our hearts are, thank you so much for everything that you guys do. You know, the patrons having the funds to be able to do things like the picnic, to be able to donate to charity, to be able to organize some things. It really makes a genuine difference to us, and it makes a difference to other people. And I think what we wanted to have happen at the picnic was for people to come out and meet each other and to engage that level of community. And I think that I saw a lot of that happening. I saw a lot of people walking around, meeting new people. And we're really just terribly grateful to everybody who spent their freezing cold, rainy Saturday with the likes of us. So thank you very much. It was a pleasure to meet each and every one of you.
So we want to burn through some email real quick. We wanted to first talk a little bit about specifically doctors. We had been getting some messages, especially from many different people. We had gotten messages they all talked about doctors, basically whether or not doctors were taking kickbacks from companies and whether or not the doctors chose their medicines that they prescribed based on a good looking sales representative, or whether or not they were getting kickbacks or getting flown to conferences and things like that. And a lot of these things sounded like sales motivation. So, like, you know, whether or not you're buying it from a girl with that you find attractive, or whether or not you're getting flown someplace based on the amount of sales that you do. Clearly, there are incentives and different ways in which people try to push medications. And we get that. We understand that. What the argument I was trying to make, though, was that there is no big pharma entity that is controlling big medicine to try to make more money by prescribing things that may or may not be necessary. That's the argument that we were trying to make initially with the very first thing that we were talking about when the story that we were referring to came out. That argument then shifted based on, well, some doctors do get money. Yes, we recognize that some doctors, and there's fail safes in place to make sure that that sort of thing doesn't happen. There's laws against it and things like that. So yes, clearly there are people who break the law. Yes, clearly there are people who don't, who may have some unethical practices. Unethical practices are probably just as common in the medical field as they are in every other field. But I don't think that there's some sort of overarching conspiracy behind the whole thing is what the argument I was trying to make.
Yeah, there's no systemic defining practice where, you know, you go to your family physician and they say, yeah, I'm going to give this guy this medicine. As soon as they walk out the door, they're like checking their commission for having, you know, prescribed you Lyrica instead of Neurontin or something, you know, like that's just not the practicality. Now, granted, there are, like Cecil said, there are sales incentives. You know, pharmaceutical sales reps do come by. They have influence. Absolutely. But that's not the same. That's really not the same thing. That's not the same thing as a direct quid pro quo. And that's really what we were kind of talking about. You know, the idea, too, that like, well, you know, doctors can be paid exorbitant speaking fees or advertising. Yeah, I mean, sure, they can be, but not everybody can be a speaker. You know, the majority of people are listening to a speech. They're not giving the speech. So, yes, can it happen? Sure. Are there indirect methods of compensation? You know, I'm certain that there is a number of indirect methods of compensation. But on a one-to-one individual level basis, no. I mean, there is no direct quid pro quo that goes on between pharmaceutical and the individual doctor level. It's illegal. And it also just doesn't jive with the doctors that I know personally, and it doesn't jive with the experience that I've had as a patient, and it just also doesn't make ethical sense.
We want to thank everybody who participated in the long Black Cock / Kiva challenge that we did. There was a lot of people that sent us messages and said that they donated to Kiva based on this. Somebody else had already said, yeah, I had already donated, but I wound up reinvesting again and donating more. And I also sent out gift cards to friends because I wanted to make sure that they did Kiva as well. So thank you very much. So there's a lot of people who did it. We had funded several projects. Those projects haven't paid us back yet, but when they do, we're going to reinvest that money. So we want to thank everybody who donated to Kiva, and we'll keep you abreast on if the projects we have donated to pay us back, we will mention what those projects are on the show so people know sort of the things that that we donated to. And we'd love to see the ones that you donated to too. So if you send us a message, we'd love to see them. We got a message. This is great. We got a message from a concerned mother in Alabama. And Tom, why don't you read the message? Because we're going to post the link to this on this episode 181.
Dear Tom and Cecil, I'm an anonymous listener who is deeply offended by your most recent episode in which you insinuated that it was ridiculous for there to be a community of well water drinkers. I will have you know that there is and has been a well-established well-water drinking group on them internets for a while now, as you can see by our very prestigious subreddit. And then there's a link to the Reddit, which is subreddit well-water drinkers. Please acknowledge this blasphemous error on your next podcast, A Concerned Mother in Alabama. And this person actually has a subreddit for well-water drinkers. Yeah. It's awesome.
They created it specifically based on the show. So if you go check out this subreddit, check out their post. There's only one post in there now. And then there's also a post on the side that basically references the episode. It's just a funny joke. Like, it's funny they went to all this trouble to do this. So we're going to put a link to Reddit's well-water drinkers subreddit so you can go check that out. I wanted to mention, too, we got a comment from Phil on our blog, and then we also got a couple other comments based on this. And I wanted to mention this. The person had said that they said it's nuts to believe that women are not represented in Congress unless half of them are women. Do you think only men can be represented by male politicians? Feminists might not like it, but women already vote for whoever they like and run for office wherever they like. And the more women voters, and there are more women voters, yet Obama won over Hillary in the primaries. So read into that whatever you like. And then they also say that having 50% of females in every workplace is literally impossible. I never said that there should be 50% of women in the workplace. I don't know where you got that from, but I never said that. And I also didn't say that I think that it should be half women in Congress, but I do think women are underrepresented. I don't think that they should be half. But I think that they should be a bigger, a more substantial size than they currently are. And the reason why they're not, and this is, I think, you know, you can read into this however you like, but there has been in Congress, about 12,000 people have been members of Congress in both the House and the Senate since we've become a country. Only a little under 300 of them have been women. And of that, the women that are currently serving, there's about a little less than 100. So you're looking at a third of those women are currently serving now. If you look back and look back through time, how many women only got the right to vote within the last century? So, you know, we're looking at a a way in which to systematically disenfranchise women from the entire process. She doesn't think that she can get elected. She probably won't run. Look at women that have run for president. You know, you mentioned Hillary, but Hillary is clearly the exception, not the rule. Look at all the women who have run for president. Go ahead and look at a Wikipedia article. Look at how many votes they've gotten. Not many women have gotten very far at all running for president. They've gotten thousands of votes, not millions at all. And in the primaries, Hillary tried to run, but she is clearly the exception. So you're pointing at one thing. You're not saying, well, there's been this long line of women who've been running for president. No, there hasn't. And not ones that you've heard of.
I agree with that. And I also think if you just stop and take a look at who are the power brokers in the world, you know, in terms of, you know, CEOs for major corporations, people at executive levels all across the board, people in government, not only at very high levels, but also at state levels. You know, you do see that, you know, 50%. OK, you know, maybe not. Maybe not. I don't know. I mean, maybe. Is it would we say it's unfair if it's not? No, but half of half, you know, we're at less than half of half. And I think when we that's just in terms of people representing us in Congress. But, you know, again, look at the power brokers in the world. And that helps you to understand if there's a gender bias to the power structure that defines, you know, who governs us, you know, not just on a governmental level, but on an everyday practical level. You know, with representation in corporations, you know, across corporate America, who are the police chiefs, police captains, like who are the power brokers in the world? And if you see a huge gender disparity, that at the very least should cause you to say, well, why? Where does that come from?
Yeah.
Let's ask some questions about that and wonder if that's the best way to build a just society.
Yeah. And I really do think that, you know, there's the track record causes people that might be good at this and might actually be a very good representative not to do it because they don't think that they can get elected because their track record has shown that they haven't been elected much in the past. So when you say, well, women are voting. Yeah, well, what's the choices out there? We got a message from Mark, and Mark says basically he just wanted to say that he's a Christian, a liberal Christian, and he agrees with us. And he just wanted to let you know that he is always astonished at fucking the nutty people that we talk about. And he's you know, he's one of those people that finds enough in common with us that even though we don't agree on the God thing, he still listens to us and still likes the show. We want to thank you for listening, Mark. But I also want to mention, too, I don't know where I heard this. And for some reason, I'm going back to Jamie Ian Swiss. I don't know if it was him or not, but I'm going back to that, and one of the things I'm thinking of is someone had said something based on the idea that I may have something more in common with a liberal Christian, a Christian that is as liberal as I am. I may have more in common with them than I would an atheist who happens to be a conservative or a far right-leaning libertarian. I might have more in common with the Christian because I only disagree on like one or two things with the Christian. They might be big things based on your God, but it's still not enough to make us disagree on all the other things. And I think that that's an interesting, you know, we can have Christian allies in this.
You know, and I this got me to thinking, I am curious if you are a religious listener. I guess Cecil and I assume that the vast majority of our listeners are probably atheists or at the very least agnostic. But if you are a religious listener, I'd be very curious about that. Post it to our Facebook or send us an email. I'm curious to know kind of the faith background, if any, of other listeners that might be listening to the program.
We got a message from Rolf, and Rolf is in Sweden, and he said we should come to QEDCon, but then he also said, and, you know, we are planning on that in a couple years, we think, or a year. We're not sure when, but we'd like to come out to QEDCon.
Absolutely.
We love all the guys over there. You know, we love the people who put on Incredulous. We love the people who put on Skeptics with a K. And then there's a couple other podcasts over there that we've had a lot of good relations with those people, and they're very nice. We'd love to come out and see England and get a chance to talk to them. But he says, I dare you to say the Swedish word for Undertaker. Tom, take a stab at it.
Oh, I think I'm going to nail this. It's Begravenstentrep entrepreneur.
Entrepreneur. That is an entrepreneur at the end, isn't it? Yeah. I'm going to try it. Here we go. Begravenstentrepreneur.
Nicely done.
I think that that's
exactly
right.
I think that's how you pronounce it.
I think that's how you say it. So thank you very much for sending in your message, Rolf. If we ever get over there, we'll let people know we're going.
Oh, man. I hope if I go there, I don't need an undertaker. I won't know how to call out for one, but.
We got a message from Kevin, and he asked us please not to use the word homosexual. We try to avoid that word. I try to avoid it all the time if I can. Sometimes my brain doesn't let me avoid it, and if it's said in the story, sometimes I say it again. I try to use gay as often as I can, but sometimes a homosexual will slip out. I apologize if I ever offend anybody for that, but I also hope that you remember in this context that I'm never actually being disparaging, that I'm never actually trying to insult anyone. So if I do say it, I'm just using it as a term based on the story, probably because my brain is too slow to actually slip it and flip it for gays, because that's how they refer to gay people. So just understand that I'm not trying to hurt anyone's feelings when I say it, and if it slips out, it's completely an accident.
I had no idea homosexual. I mean, I guess it didn't seem pejorative to me. In fact, I guess I would have thought that the word gay maybe would be a little pejorative if either one of them was, because sometimes people will use the word gay as an insult. Like kids on the schoolyard will call each other gay, you know, as an insult. So I, as an outsider to that community, I think it's challenging to try to find ways to address people within that community in a way that respects everybody and is respectful of everybody's desire for the right language. I guess, you know, I would echo Cecil's sentiments that the context here hopefully overrides the occasional slip in language.
So we want to thank Jake from the ImaginaryFriendShow.com podcast for joining us. You can find his show at ImaginaryFriendShow.com. And we also appeared on his show this week on IFS 200 and 200.5. So check those out on his website. We were joined by a bunch of other people. But we had a great time hanging out with him, and we hope you check out his show. We also want to mention that we are going to hopefully have Bill and Susie from the Barroom Atheist come on our show, and then we are going to be on their show very soon. We're not sure when that's going to happen. We're still sort of in talks with them. If you haven't checked out Barroom Atheist, you should, and we'll let you know in the very near future. If we do get on their show, we'll post a link. We hope that that comes to fruition. So we're going to close it out. We're going to have a midweek episode this upcoming week, so check it out. And we're going to leave you, as always, with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo quasi alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy healing, water downward spiral, brain deadpan, sales pitch, late night info docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your signs. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and views expressed in this show are that of the hosts only. Our poorly formed and expressed notions do not represent those of our wives, employers, friends, families, or of the local dairy council.